We're going to look at this subject of how to be angry lovingly, and I'm wondering if you could all join me in reading a paragraph of Scripture out loud together. Ready? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I once did a cover-to-cover study of the subject of anger in the Bible, and I found over 500 references to anger in the Bible. And most of those, as you can imagine, had to do with, as Shane was speaking about, the wrath of God. We read, for example, a couple of verses here. God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses His wrath every day. And we read the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, and nor will He keep His anger forever. But even our Lord Jesus Christ is said to have gotten angry upon occasion. Most notably, of course, was the clearing of the temple where He started throwing money trays around and started loosening animals so that they could run around, and He created this chaotic scene because He was so angry that the temple had been reduced to a money-making machine in the eyes of the religious leaders instead of a place where people connect with God. And in Mark 3:5, He was in Capernaum, and the Pharisees were trying to trap Him with questions. And He said, well, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. And they refused to answer His. And we read there that He looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Now, just knowing that God the Father and God the Son both had anger running through them ought to be enough to convince us that anger is not evil in and of itself. The difference is that when God expresses anger, He always does it for the right reasons. But it's not so with you and I. With you and I, we have dwelling within us a sin nature that we have to cope with and live with until the day that we die and are glorified. And that sin nature gets into the mix of our anger. And it's why most of us, when we think of anger, we see raised voices, hurtful words, damaged property, fists clenched, teeth grinding, and people being abused. And so it is no wonder that so many people question whether or not there is such a thing as righteous anger. This professor of mine in seminary, counseling professor, author of many books, in one of his books wrote, many times people with extensive religious training tend to repress anger rather than express their anger. They tend to deny that they feel angry because they mistakenly think anger is a sinful emotion. And so in many of our homes, whenever we felt angry, we were made to feel guilty for feeling angry. And we have this feeling that anger in and of itself is an evil emotion. But then some of us, we were allowed as children to feel angry, but we weren't allowed to express anger. As this author, Adelaide Bry, says, the root cause of people keeping their anger all bottled up is almost always the same. As children, they were extravagantly rewarded for the times when they were good and sweet and compliant and cooperative. At the same time, they were severely reprimanded and punished any time they showed any expression of anger. And so they learn to keep their anger all bottled up. Expressing anger either got them nowhere or it got them in trouble. But listen, God gets angry, so anger can't be wrong in and of itself. He created us with the capacity to get angry. Anger is not wrong in and of itself. But the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, in your anger, do not sin. Now think about that for a moment. He was talking to Christians in the church at Ephesus. These were born-again people. These were people in whom dwelt the Holy Spirit. These are people that were indwelt by that sin nature that hounds us till the day that we die. And yet, he told them, in your anger, do not sin. It is possible to be angry without sinning. And in fact, anger is actually a good thing when it is expressed in a righteous and loving way. There was a period of time in our history when the Chrysler Corporation was considered in critical condition. And the Wall Street Journal even said, let the Chrysler Corporation die. And then came along a very strong leader by the name of Lee Iacocca. And Lee was speaking one time at the graduation ceremony at the University of Michigan. And I just love what he said. He said, when I read that in the Wall Street Journal, that Chrysler should die a death with dignity, I got mad. My colleagues in Highland Park got mad. Tens of thousands of Chrysler people all across America got mad. We got so mad, we banded together, talked things over, started working together. We fixed what was wrong with Chrysler, and we doubled our productivity. We rejuvenated our factories. We cut our costs. We started building the highest quality cars and trucks in America. We offered our customers the best values in the business. This story has a moral. Wonderful things happen when Americans get mad. I think some well-directed anger can cure most of what is wrong in America. And so anger can be a very constructive thing. In fact, our country is better off because laws were created because people got angry. Children are better off because their parents saw the direction that they were going in and they got angry and corrected them. Some of our marriages are better off because one spouse got angry enough to insist upon a conversation that caused the quality of the marriage to go up. You see, what happens when we get angry is that we get this extra energy within us to deal with a problem. Listen to this quote here. It says that what we have to recognize is that anger is nothing more than neutral physiological energy. It is the physical reaction we experience when we suffer hurt, frustration, or threat. It is designed to give us the wherewithal to deal with painful experiences in our lives. Physiologically, what happens is this. More adrenaline is secreted into our system. More sugar is released. Our heart beats faster. Our blood pressure rises. And the pupils of our eyes are wide open. We are highly alert. So when we are angry, all the power of our person is available to us. This is part of the divine design for why we who are created in the image of God also have this capacity to get angry so that we can get positive things done when things are wrong. So lovingly managed anger is a constructive force in the world, and sinfully managed anger is a destructive force. And we are very familiar with the destructive force of it. In fact, we can't help but read the book of Proverbs and see numerous verses that have to do with anger. For example, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the person who is patient calms a quarrel. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. If we stop and think about it, when we are angry, there is tremendous potential to do a great deal of damage. We can ruin our reputation with people in an instant. We can lose the respect of other people. I'm sure some of you have bosses that are very quick-tempered, very angry individuals, and they're your superior, and you listen to them, but you don't respect them because of their anger. We can lose our health over anger. There is a psychosomatic connection between anger and many things that ail us. And it is interesting that some people will go all out to eat right, to sleep right, to rest, to exercise right, and do nothing about these powerful emotions such as anger in their life, which are just as destructive on their health as anything else. You can lose your job over an angry outburst. I know a guy that happened to. Your marriage can be destroyed by having unmanaged anger. Your children can become estranged from you because of your anger issues. You can lose a lot of friends along the way as a result of your anger issues. And so it really is an important topic that we're thinking about today. And I'm wondering, is there a better way to express our anger than going on the Jerry Springer show and trying to resolve that? That's what I want to discuss with you. And I want to give you four keys that will help you deal with your anger. And key number one is that if you want to express your anger righteously and lovingly, be fully convinced that you can learn to control your anger. Sometimes we act as though anger is something that just comes upon us, that we have no control over, that we just have to go along for the emotional ride. Sometimes we say to other people, "You make me so angry." And we, by saying that, even though that's somewhat of a colloquial expression, what we're doing is we're saying, "You make me angry. I'm not responsible for what I'm feeling right now," which completely contradicts the idea that we can, that anger is a learned behavior and that it is something that we can control. Now, we do not all start on a level playing field. We all start at different places in our dealings with anger. Some of us grew up in homes where we never saw mom and dad fight. And I've had people in my office say, "You know, my parents never modeled for me how to fight right. I never saw them fight." But we know that, you know, they had to have their issues, because we all do. They just solved them behind closed doors. And sometimes, you know, that's good to deal with things behind closed doors, but it also doesn't model to the children how to have a good, clean fight. But some of us saw homes where we really did see mom and dad fight, and it was a good, clean fight, and we learned from their model. But then some of us, lived in homes undoubtedly, And we could all tell our stories here this morning, but where anger was a very destructive force and dealt with very improperly. And so along the way, we've learned different things about anger, and our family of origin had a lot to do with that. But all I'm saying is that wherever you are at this morning, there is room for improvement. You can't say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That would be saying behavior is not learned and something that we control. You can teach an old dog new tricks. It just takes longer. You may be digging yourself out of a situation where your anger is going to take a while to manage properly. But it's never too late to start doing the right things. And practice never makes perfect, but it does make better. It might help you to know that if you are a born-again child of God, that you have living within you the Holy Spirit, who is trying to produce within you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so let's go on to learn how we can better manage our behavior. Our second key is that we can learn to delay our reactions until we have had a chance to think. It was our third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, who came up with the idea that when you're angry, count to 10. And he not only said that, but he said, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're very angry, count to 100. And there is actually biblical wisdom in that, whether he realized that or not. The Bible tells us that God is slow to anger and that we should be slow to anger. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, abounding in love, and he will not always accuse, nor will he hold his anger forever, but he does not treat our sins as we deserve. Now notice that. He is slow to anger, even though he won't hold his anger in forever. But that's how we're supposed to be, according to James chapter 1, where it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because improperly expressed anger does not produce the righteous results that God desires. When we slow down and we have a delay between the incident that we are angry at and our reaction to it, it gives us a chance to think about why am I angry? And what is the legitimacy of my anger? And what's the potential here of destroying something good if I manifest my anger improperly? And what's the best way that I can express my anger in this situation? I used to work for Sears. When I was in seminary, I was an appliance salesperson. And I got the job. It was a part-time job. And the full-time people hated the part-time people, because Sears always had full-time people. And these people, you know, they've got families to feed, mortgages to pay. But Sears, in order to save money from their end, would hire all these part-timers. And we were aggressive, and we wanted to make money, too. But so we got no support, no help from the full-timers, except there was this one guy, John, who was my brother in Christ. And John helped me a lot because of our Christian connection. And so, you know, but one day I looked down, and I saw some paperwork that I wasn't supposed to see. And John had taken the commission on one of my big sales. And I immediately blew a fuse. And he told me I could call him anytime I wanted. And so I called him and I said, John, what did you do here? And he explained. And I said, okay, John, listen, I am so angry right now that I know I'm not going to handle this right. So I'm going to get back to you. Let me calm down and think about what's going on here, and I'll get back to you. Well, the next day when John came into work, we had our little powwow. But by then, I was calmed down. I delayed my reaction. And I thought about, you know, gee, I could destroy this, you know, good relationship that I have with John if I don't handle this properly. We appealed to our boss, and our boss ruled in favor of John. And so I had to accept that and swallow that and so forth. But I thought to myself constantly, like, man, I could have cut myself off from the one relationship I had that was helping me do my job if I would have not delayed my reaction and thought through the best approach to doing this. Sometimes there is value in delaying. It says that a quick-tempered person does foolish things. So a person who explodes a short time after an incident without putting that delay factor in there does a lot of foolish things. And whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. But we don't want to go too long in holding our anger. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Sometimes, this is true of me, is that I can be angry at something, and then I let too much time go by, and the anger kind of dissipates, and then my conflict avoidance tendencies kick in, where I really don't want to deal with an issue, where I'd rather avoid dealing with a conflict. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes we let angry energy go to waste. And I think that's why it says that, you know, within 24 hours, it says before the sun goes down. I take that to be within 24 hours because if something happens after the sun goes down, there may not be enough time to get it all fixed, you know. And so I always say before the next sundown. You know, the whole idea is we don't want to postpone this stuff. We want to take advantage of that angry energy to solve a problem, excuse me, and to make things better. A third key would be to determine whether or not your motives are selfish or loving. We ought to ask ourselves, you know, why am I angry? What's going on inside of me? What does my anger tell me about what I think deep inside myself? And one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever heard, and I don't know where I picked this up, but basically, when we're angry, it's because there's an obstacle in the way of something that we want. And so then I ask myself, what's the obstacle that's blocking me from what I want? What is it that I want, and what's the obstacle that's blocking me from what I want? Let me give you an example of a time in my life when I really consciously thought about this. One that I recall from many years ago, but it's when we had like four or five little kids in the house. And Martha was away for the evening, right? And it's 8 o'clock, it's bedtime, and it's just not easy for a dad to keep four or five kids in bed. You know, this one's going to get a drink, this one's going to the bathroom, this one needs his story tape flipped. This one needs a diaper change. This one, you know, needs another drink. And this one needs another trip to the bathroom. And, you know, I mean, it's really hard for a dad to hold four kids down in bed. And so I noticed that whenever Martha was away, I was like turning into this raving lunatic. Now, You've never seen my raving lunacy, but not yet. Maybe someday you will, but you've never seen my raving lunacy, but my kids have. And I'll probably hear about it at my birthday party today, too. You know, it kind of turns into a roast, but... you know, so one night I said, what is it that every time Martha's away and I have to hold the kids, I turn into this raving lunatic? And I thought about this whole idea of goal being blocked. And you know what I discovered is that I wanted the kids in bed at 8 o'clock so that the house would be quiet, so that I could work on a few more things that I needed to do. Now, what's the legitimacy of that? There's probably some legitimacy to that, right? Because there's discipline. Kids need to be in bed. But kids are kids. And I was expecting them to be more than kids for my own self-interest of having this quiet time when I could get some productive work done. And so I have found that to be a very helpful tool to ask myself, what is it that stands in the way of what is it that I want, what stands in the way, and how legitimate is my concern? If I could back up there, it says that love is not self-seeking, and then it says it is not easily angered. And you can kind of see a free flow of conscious thought there, because one of the problems we have is that often our anger is selfish and not legitimate. But on the other hand, it often is very legitimate. And when it is legitimate, it needs to be expressed in a loving and righteous way. Key number four, final principle. Just because anger, when we are angry, it cries out for expression. And if we keep it all bottled up, sometimes we call that self-control. But in reality, we are not managing our anger well just because we keep it all bottled up inside. That's poor anger management. That's not the way that anger was designed to work. And so keeping it all bottled up, at some point, it's going to explode or maybe create health problems or whatever. See, anger cries out for expression. It cries out for words. It cries out for actions. And there are proper and improper ways of expressing anger. Let me resort to the red light, yellow light, green light illustration again. And you'll see this in your notes, is that there's never a time that vulgar speech, hurtful speech, hurling insults, pushing and shoving, physically hurting, damaging property, taking retaliation, and gossiping should take place. And you say, gossiping. What's that got to do with it? Because how often when we get angry at someone, do we immediately go and start talking to someone else who has no business with the matter whatsoever, looking for an ally to kind of support us in our anger and make us feel more right about our anger? Your boss ticks you off and you go to another coworker. Now listen to what he's done. You know, or you go home to your spouse and you say, you know what, so-and-so at church said to me today. And we want these allies. And that's actually a form of gossip. So these are wrong expressions of anger. Now, this one gets a little more... this one gets a little more controversial, the yellow light one, because I would say most of the time they're wrong, but, you know, they can be used well. I mean, I think an angry look can work very well. Raising your voice and screaming, that can be effective if it's not used too often. The problem is it gets overused and it becomes a dull sword. Slamming doors and throwing things around. Did Jesus ever do that? See, I think actually there's a place for that if it's not destructive and if it's not frequent, but it's intentional. It's controlled. You're in control of yourself. It's part of your strategy to make your point. But then, the green light stuff is basically, I couldn't make a list of this, but in principle, it's attacking the problem, not the person. It's engaging in conversation that is calm, cool, and collected, because we actually get further ahead doing that than we do with the screaming all the time. It's taking constructive actions, and then it involves prayer as well. So here's your assignment. Practice being angry without sinning. Make sure you're angry for right reasons and that you express it in legitimate ways. But also, could I encourage you to go out from here and to get angry about some things and to express your anger in a righteous and loving way and thereby improve your friendships, your marriages, your family life, your church life, the world? Lord, give us wisdom as we move out from here and help us to manage our anger in the way that you want us to, in the way that you exemplified for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll invite the worship team to come up.